Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions of the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Chris G. from, oh my goodness, I lost it.
I'm from San Pedro,
I'm so
San Pedro,
sorry.
California, which is on the coast of Los Angeles.
Thank you, Chris. Welcome. Chris G is a compulsive overeater from California. And go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I would just like to thank you so much for asking me to be of service to speak at this meeting. I'm very grateful. I'm a very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I did not have that idea when I came into these rooms. I was so full of shame for having this disease when I walked in, and I just thought it was a miserable curse. And now I know it's been the greatest blessing in my life. So, usually, we start off with, what it was like, what happened, and what it was like now, what it's like now. I do have pictures. I don't know if I can share them from my phone. I'm on my phone. So I'm not sure I can do that, but let's see. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. Oh wait, here we go. Okay, whoops. Okay, I don't know if you can see what's going on here on my phone. Can anybody see this? Let's go like
Not
this.
yet.
Okay. It's not going to let me do it. I think there's a problem with the storage on my phone. So I was born into a family of an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater. My father drank heavily my whole growing up. And so there was a lot of emotional, trauma growing up. I didn't have the luxury of really expressing myself without being told that I really shouldn't be doing that. So I just held a lot in, and I used food to cope with my entire childhood. My mom was a teacher and also quite the perfectionist, and so I kind of followed in her lead with eating to cope and practicing perfectionism, which was just absolutely exhausting. So I consider myself a recovering perfectionist and a recovering compulsive overeater, because it was really difficult. I was trying to always be the best, never wanted to make mistakes, always needed to get like the 4.0 in school and play the varsity sports, and it was just exhausting. I used food to cope with all of that. My brother was emotionally abusive to me and sometimes physically. So I just remember I would get home from school and I would pop a bagel in the toaster, and then I would pop another one in the toaster. And I would sit down on the couch with those giant, chocolate bars and nurse them like they were a lover. And I just had a love affair with food growing up. It was my safe place. It was how I escaped. It was my soothing balm. And unfortunately, I had some very difficult ideas as a teenager about how my body should look. And so I started starving myself. So when I was about 16 years old, I dieted and starved down to about 155 pounds. So I'm about 6 feet tall. So 155 pounds is underweight for me. Today I'm 162 pounds, and I've been that for the last 5 months. with no change at all to my weight. So that in itself is a total miracle. So I starved my way down to that really low weight, and I was freezing all the time. And I was really kind of wacky. I went to college, and within the first 3 months at school, I put on 30 pounds. I came back from college, and my little cousin, who was 9 years old, he hadn't seen me since the summertime. And you know how kids are. They're so, they just say it like it is, right? He's like, you know, Chris, why are you so fat? Just right to my face. And I was just like, oh my God. You know, I knew I couldn't hide this. I mean, I went from, you know, 150 to 180 seemingly overnight. And my skin was literally hurting from having expanded so fast. It was so tight and hurting that I just was trying to control and manage my life with the food. And I was trying to control and manage the food, sometimes binging, sometimes starving, and everything in between. Lots of grazing, lots of always having food on me, always having candy in my purse, always having peppermints in my pockets, always had food in the car, never left the house without chocolate. It was like my life support. I was using food to just cope with anything in life, any anxiety, any fear. Whether it was happy times or good times or bad times, I would be eating over it. Whenever I was mad at you, I would never tell you. I would just eat over it. If there was something that needed to be communicated, I couldn't do that. I couldn't successfully express myself with love or honesty or compassion or anything. So I would just hold everything in, and the food was just a way I kept everything down. So in the late 90s, I was in my late 20s, and a friend of mine had said, you know, you should try OA. And so I went to several meetings over several years. I didn't get what it was going on. I didn't really understand when you guys said you were powerless. I didn't know what that meant, and it didn't really stick. But I had the information that there was OA, you know, that it existed and that it helped people. So I just kind of went back on my way, kept going up in weight, and then I tried to lose weight for my mom's wedding, and I did. I dieted down to like a normal size, and then right after that, I shot way back up. So my weight was constantly in flux. I was just trying to control and manage it and my whole life with food. And then in 2006, I had this experience where I wanted to stop eating, but I got in the car, and the car was driving itself to the bakery, like against my own will. Like I really didn't want to be doing this. I really didn't want to be in the food. And yet I was in the food anyway. So it really scared me, because I said, if I can't stop myself from eating, I'm going to be 400 pounds very quickly with the way that I'm. It scared me. So I started going to an OA meeting in Westchester in Los Angeles. It was a 100-pounder meeting in 2006. And there were a lot of long-timers in there, which was great. And there were some people there who had peace. But when I walked in, you know, I was this selfish, perfectionist person who, you know, they said, find someone who has what you want. And I said to myself, there's nobody in here who has anything that I want, because I was so judgmental and critical, and I was just judging everybody in the room. I was just like, but I am sick, I am hurting, and I need some help. And there was one lady in there who was just peaceful. She spoke very peacefully. She was very loving. And she always talked about working the steps. And so I got her number, and even though I didn't call her right away, it took several times before I actually got her number and called her. She said to me, well, I can take you through the steps. if you'd like to, meet me at my house. We'll meet once a week for an hour at my house on Tuesday night at 7. And she just like laid it out for me. I said, well, okay, I'll do it. So I started working the steps through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's how I started in 2006. And
20 minutes left.
I didn't know about I didn't know about like the difference between abstinence and food plan. That was very confusing to me. I didn't want to tell anybody what I was eating, and I didn't want to be on a food plan. I didn't feel like I could be on a food plan, to be perfectly honest with you, because I was such a rebellious eater that any time I felt like I had restrictions around my food, I would be going overboard on it. So I was really scared of anything diety. If it felt like a diet, I was so scared to do it because I knew I'd be binging by that night, you know? So her food plan was 3 meals a day, nothing in between, and she didn't eat her alcoholic food. And I thought, well, I'll try that. Well, I realized I didn't do so well on that because I wasn't eating on time. And so then I would get over hungry and then there wasn't a snack built in. And so it was just a mess. And I wasn't being honest with her about it. You know, I didn't realize it until this recently because I've been in program 17 years, but I only have 8 months of abstinence. So this has been quite a journey for me. I didn't realize that I couldn't recover unless I was honest. Nobody told that to me in the beginning, that if I wasn't honest, that I wouldn't recover. And so that's kind of what was happening with me in the beginning. That first abstinence, I was kind of loosey-goosey with the food, but I was working the steps as best I could with her. I identified that desserts were alcoholic for me, and that's as far as I got. I didn't have any other alcoholic foods that I knew of except for dessert. So that's where I started. I started with 3 meals a day and no desserts. And I had a pretty nice run with that for about 5 years. And my life got really big. I started seeing a lot of blessings from the recovery. I did my fourth step and my fifth step, and the food was pretty much down, although I have to admit, I think I did pad meals now and then, you know, because I wasn't on a weighed and measured food plan. So I really wasn't monitoring the volume. I know that there were probably some big meals in there, but I just kept moving forward with it. So I ended up having about 5 years of recovery here with that sponsor. And I got engaged. I met a guy. Actually, I met a guy the same year I came into program, 2006. And I wasn't even honest with him. He had 21 years clean and sober, and I was going to my OA meetings and I was lying to him. I was telling him I was going to Al-Anon because I was also in Al-Anon too. So I was lying to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm going, you know, I got to go to my meetings, whatever. He's like, fine, fine. Well, when it was time to take my 6 month shift in the first run, because of my perfectionism, I just felt like I couldn't take it. I felt like it wasn't perfect, that my food wasn't perfect, that I didn't deserve it. And so I went to a meeting and I was talking to the long timers, you know, the 20, 25 year people that were sitting in that meeting. And I'm like, you know, I'm at this I'm I was actually at 7 months, but I never took the 6 months because I just felt like I didn't qualify. So I was just like hanging in the limbo of like, oh, I haven't really taken it. I wonder if I even have it. And a lady who has since passed away, she heard my story and she said, well, have you been compulsively overeating? And I said, no, I haven't been. I've just, you know, some people say that they don't eat certain things in meetings and I don't have problems with those foods and I eat those foods, but I don't know if I'm abstinent or not. I was just a big mess in the head. I didn't have clarity. And she said, Chris, if you haven't been compulsively overeating for 6 months, take the chip and move forward. Just move forward. And it was the best advice because I kept moving through the steps. And that night, I was so happy that I finally had that resolve that I was just going to move forward. That I saw my boyfriend at the time, and I said to him, he's like, how was your meeting? And I said, it was amazing. I go, I took my 6-month chip. And he said, you took your 6-month chip? They give trips in Al-Anon? And I'm like, oh, God. I go, you got to sit down for this. So I sat him down on the bed and I said, I've been going to meetings, but I haven't been going to Al-Anon meetings. I said, I'm a compulsive overeater and I've been going to OA meetings. And, you know, I had so much shame around being a compulsive overeater. It was so hard for me to let him know that I was a compulsive overeater. Because I thought that if he knew that, he wouldn't love me. And that I was flawed in some way, that I wasn't going to be someone that he wanted to be with. And when I admitted that I was a compulsive overeater, that night was the first night that he told me he loved me. And I was just floored. I felt like it was such a God shot that here I am admitting that I'm a compulsive overeater, that I cannot manage the food. And here's this amazing soul sitting across from me who I'm falling in love with, who's telling me that he loves me. And it was just like, OA is saving my life. OA is saving my life. OA is teaching me how to love me as I am with all of my stuff, and that I'm lovable even with all this extra weight, even with all of these character defects, that I started learning how to love myself like God loves me. It was so profound. I never had really an experience of God as a kid. My parents just didn't, we never went to church. It was like nothing. It was kind of vacant in the spiritual realm, but I was always a seeker. I was doing meditation retreats and yoga, and I was always seeking. But as much meditation and yoga and all that stuff that I did, it didn't solve the food problem. Until I started working the steps through the big book and started accessing a higher power that I felt wanted me to be well, you know? That was the only concept I had, was that this power was like the same power that that bloomed flower in the meadow was the same power that was beating my heart and was breathing my breath. The same power that the birds were using to fly and the waves were crashing in on the beach was the same power that was beating my heart. And I was very connected to nature in my first concept of a higher power. So my life just got really big. This man ended up proposing to me. You know, he said he didn't want to have kids, and I always wanted to have kids. And I was in the work. I was in the work of the steps. And so I did some soul searching on that. And I said to God, I said, you know what, God, if I'm supposed to be with this guy, then show me. If I'm supposed to leave and find a guy that, you know, I'm supposed to be with, then show me that. So I got my suitcase out of the closet and I had all my clothes. I'm like, all right, if I'm supposed to go find somebody else, then I'm going to be able to put all these clothes in this suitcase and I'm going to bolt like I always did with men, love them and leave them. Like that was how I did it. I never let anybody get too close to me, but this one was really special. And I was standing there in front of the closet and I could not pack the bag. I could not put anything in the suitcase. And I had my answer, but this was the guy for me, regardless, whatever it looked like, if we got married or not, or had kids or not, I was going to just practice acceptance on this one. And I did. I was in a hammock depressed for 3 weeks, but I did it. I did it. I just felt all my feelings. And that's what I never did when I was in the food. I was just stuffing all the feelings down. Now I feel my feelings. So in 2011, he proposed. I said, yes, we had this amazing wedding. But, you know, I didn't stay super close to program in this period of time. My sponsor moved to Thailand, and I didn't want to do the Skype thing. I didn't want a remote relationship with a sponsor. I wanted somebody in person. And so I was just kind of sponsorless for a while. We bought a house that was far away from my home group, so I didn't go to that meeting anymore. I made some really poor decisions about that. And, you know, we don't have the mental defense against this disease. We only have a spiritual defense, if that. And I was not keeping up my spiritual fitness. So I had the idea that for my wedding, I needed to taste the cakes that were going to be served at my wedding to make sure everybody was going to be happy with that.
It's 10 minutes left.
And that started a 12-year relapse for me. 12 years back in the food, slipping and sliding. Got married. It was wonderful. Got pregnant, actually. He changed his mind and wanted to have babies with me. And I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. So we had a baby, and I was nursing and had another baby. And, you know, I mean, I felt pregnancy gave me the license to eat whatever I wanted. You know, I was growing another human being, right? My brain was just not well. I never left the room, but I stopped working the steps like I needed to be working them. And I stopped. My connection with my higher power was not a priority in my life anymore. It was all about the husband and the kid and the house. So I got up to 243 pounds and miserable. I was at the school volunteering constantly, wanting to be the best, wanting to show everybody what a good mom I was, wanting to make the school amazing, you know, PTOing my ass off. And neglecting my house and neglecting, like, the laundry wasn't getting done, but I was volunteering at the school. I was, you know, watering the plants and, you know, doing grams and all that shit that you do when you're a parent at school volunteering. And I stepped on a lot of toes. And one of them retaliated so bad that my head was pretty much ripped off and my heart just pulled out of me and stomped on. And I was obliterated. And I was in the food so bad that I'm like, I can't do this anymore with the food. I just can't. My life is a mess. It is so unmanageable. And so it was Christmas of 2023, just this last Christmas. And my daughter, who's like an avid baker, was baking all kinds of shit for Christmas. Like, there were chocolate chips everywhere. There was berry crisp and banana bread. And there was just all kinds of shit in my house. And I had a night with it. And, you know, I was sneaking behind the counter and trying not to let them see me. Of course, you know, I'm in OA. And all of my eating I would be doing hiding. And the next morning, I got on the Sunday meeting, the FOPR meeting, the Zoom meeting, and Deborah was sharing, and she said, in her share, she said, if you don't remember your last binge, you probably haven't had it yet. And I said, I fucking had it. I have had it. That is it. I am done. I don't want to be in the food anymore. I will do whatever it takes. I will go to any length. I want to be recovered. And I heard people say they were recovered, not just recovering, that they were recovered, that they were not fighting anything or anyone, even food, that they had food neutrality, that they were at peace, that they were happy. And that's what I wanted. And I had a glimpse of that in my first 5 years. I had a glimpse of that, but I didn't hold on to it. Well, this time I was like, I am in. I am all in. And it says in the book, it says, if you have decided that you want what we have, if you want to be recovered, and you are willing to go to any length to get it, any length, that's completely surrendered. That's not halfway. That's all in. Then you are ready to take certain steps. So those are the requirements before you work the steps to be sponsorable. It says you must decide that you want what we have and be willing to go to any length to get it, and then you are ready to take certain steps. Well, I was ready. And so I found a sponsor who had had a spiritual experience, and she said so. She was very emphatic about that, how important it is to have a sponsor who has had a spiritual experience, who is recovered, who can help you put your hands in the hands of God. That's what I needed, and that's what I found. And there were a few requirements, five requirements getting sponsored by this sponsor this time around. And even though I was scared shitless what those were going to be, it didn't really matter because I was hopeless and I was defeated and there was nowhere else for me to go. I was just going to die in the food if I didn't get help. So I needed to pray and meditate for 30 minutes in the morning, every morning. Well, I really love praying and meditating, so that wasn't really a stretch for me. I enjoy that, and I have a lot of experience with that, so I'm like, cool, I'm good. And then I needed to be on a food plan from a nutritionist who could custom make me a food plan for my body. You know, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm really strong. I don't do well with those food plans for like women that are 5'2". I mean, no, that's not what I need to be eating. So I found a nutritionist. She custom made me a food plan. I love my food plan today. It is enough. It's a food plan that is not a diet. It's not restricting. It's not painful. It's beautiful, nourishing, healthy food that I really do believe it's God's will for me to be eating a healthy, nourished food plan. So that's what I do. I also call my food in every day with a text, actually. I just texted in all my food that I'm having for the day ahead of time, not recording it afterward, not after the fact. This is planned and prepared and committed food. This was super helpful because you know how dishonest I was around food. I had to be honest. And I got the really good information that I was not going to recover unless I was honest. I got that piece of information, and that was a really important piece because one of the things I needed to do was commit any changes that I made to my food plan if I was going to make them. And I said, okay, all right. So it's like my chicken is spoiled. And I come home from work and my chicken is spoiled and I can't have that. And I end up opening up a can of salmon instead. I have to commit that. I say, chicken is bad. I'm having salmon. And it's not just when I want to make a food change. It's when I have to make a food change because I'm recovering from the very impulsive behaviors around food, compulsive, impulsive, you know, making changes off to the cuff just because I feel like it. I am selfish. I want what I want when I want it all the time. So for me to be on a food plan where I will commit the changes when they're necessary, but otherwise I'm eating on that food plan, that is not possible without God. I don't know if you've been trying to be a stay on a food plan without higher power. It is not possible. It's not possible for me. I have to surrender and work the steps like my hair is on fire, which is what I did with this sponsor. I also made 3 outreach calls a day to recovered compulsive overeaters because I needed to hear the message of recovery. And I also did an act of self-sacrifice every day, like picking up trash, putting away grocery carts at the grocery store, you know, doing something kind and not being found out. That was another requirement for my sponsor. So I did that, and I worked the steps. Powerful, powerful step working experience with this sponsor. We got all the way through it in 4.5 months. And it changed my life because I had never worked the steps with the food being down. I was, in the past, I was always working the steps, but I was kind of more or less still kind of overeating at times. And I didn't stay close to God when I had worked the steps before.
1 minute left.
This time the miracle happened for me because I was willing to be separated from my alcoholic foods and I was willing to be separated from the restricting and the overeating. I had a really good food plan that I knew was enough. And I had a really good sponsor who had had a spiritual experience who was taking me by the hand and helping me connect to God. And it happened for me. And today I'm free and I have 8 months of entire abstinence from compulsive overeating. I am at a weight that I was at when I was 17 years old. I have never seen this since 30. Gosh, I'm 50. So it was like a long time, 32, 30 something, 2 years since I actually fit into a pair of jeans. I'm wearing a pair of jeans today. By the grace of God, today I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today, I only have today. The disease is waiting for me if I choose to not connect to God on a daily basis. I know I could go back into those behaviors. But by the grace of God, today I'm at peace, and I'm so thankful that you asked me to share. And I hope that something I said was helpful to someone else on this meeting today. So sorry for all the tears. I'm super emotional, but without the food, I just cry all the time. So that's how it is. So thank you for letting me share.